Good evening. Tools to change bad habits, or another way that I would like to think about it as how do we develop good habits? Because if we just spend all our time trying to figure out how to not do the wrong things and we never figure out how to do the right things, then we will still end up with problems. Speaking of bad habits, though, I think my mother and my wife can agree to the fact that there have been a few things in my life that are less than desirable. Thinking back to when I was a teenager, Mom would often say, when we were living in El Salvador and I'd often be going into town to sell eggs and things like that, Mom would say, hey, can you get some vegetables at the market for me? And I would often forget. And so she said, she got me a notebook and said, write it down in your notebook. So I'd dutifully write it down and even take the notebook along, and then I'd forget to look at the notebook. In reality, it was one of those things I didn't really want to go to the market and buy the things she wanted, and so it was pretty convenient to forget that. One of the other bad habits that I had to work on a number of years ago, it was few months before I went to Asia on edge, and I was having a hard time fitting personal devotions into my morning schedule, and it bothered me because I was going to be going over there and I was supposed to be a good disciplined spiritual person, and if I can't even fit devotions into my morning schedule, then what are other people going to think of me? And I do things like try to get up earlier, but I'd managed to waste my time away, and then it was time to go to work and I wouldn't get it done. More recently now, I've been realizing that the thing I can need to be working on is just simply wasting my time, or grabbing my phone and reading random articles that actually aren't that interesting or that beneficial, or I'll simply get started working on some computer project, for instance, and just get zoned in, and pretty soon the whole evening's gone, and I've not spent any time with Alicia. So when Joseph asked if I'd be willing to take on doing this topic, I was interested because I thought, this would be a good chance for me to get all my problems taken care of and get this taken care of so I have something to share. But the problem is I realized a few days ago that I also have a bad habit of procrastinating. and so while I have info that might be helpful to you as you think of changing and learning new patterns in life, I can't say that I have just a whole lot of personal experience when it comes to this. But we can all think of things in life that we would like to change. And there are, here's just a random list of things that that we might deal with. Spend too much, out too late, over the weekend, spent too much time with friends after the singing, so we wake up grouchy on a Monday morning, or you just leave a little late and drive faster, hitting the snooze, phones and the internet. They are useful things, but you can waste a lot of time, and it can be a bad habit. Not making regular time for prayer and Bible reading, skipping church because, one, we're tired, or two, we don't feel like going. I will excuse the people that are missing for harvest tonight. It's not a habit. Maybe it's pushing school assignments off, just not feeling like getting the schoolwork done, and so you keep pushing it off and it doesn't get done. We just eat too much. And I see that is not on the list. But anyway, we eat too much and have the sin of gluttony, along with the same time. So we can look at this list and say, there's always an opposite to pretty much all of these. So we can have a habit of, instead of hitting the snooze, we can develop a habit of getting up promptly in the mornings, and so on and so forth. But there may be specific good habits that you want to work on, thanking people in our lives, praying regularly, systematically for our church and its leadership. regular Bible reading, memorization, spending money carefully so we have to share to give with others. For myself, one of these things that can be a good habit or I can look at it as a bad habit. I too often wait until Sunday morning to get around to studying for the Sunday school lesson. So I can turn that into a good habit of beginning early in the week and dedicating more time to it. And I look across the crowd here, and I see a lot of older people here that I can look at and assume they've got it. They've got some of these things figured out. You have developed. You've had a whole lifetime to get your habits developed. And while I have heard from some of them that you still there are things that you still struggle with even when you're older. You don't. It's not just clear sailing when you get old. I've also heard some of them say that yes, things do get easier once you're older. That you're not constantly just having to work on some of these small life things. So it does make me think that developing good habits earlier on in life is worth pursuing, because once you develop that habit, it will be there for the rest of your life. So I'm going to be looking at some of you older folks, and I'm specifically thinking, say, from 60 on up. You're the folks that you've been around the block a time or two, and you have life experience, and there are things that you can say, hey, here's an incident in my life that I had to work on when I was 22, and here's how I worked on it, here's how I accomplished it. So I invite you to be thinking about that kind of story so that you can share it with us later on. And so much of our lives are comprised of just the small decisions. We don't, there are people, and I'm going to single out some of the older men here. You older men that are living godly lives or have lived godly lives for years, I don't think you just suddenly at 22 became this godly person. It was, you've become that due to a life of a lot of small decisions that pointed you in the right direction. And we develop. Give me a second while I get my thoughts in order. We develop these good habits, such as waking up a little earlier than necessary each day than strictly necessary might be a better way of saying it. Each day for Bible reading and prayer. You chose to respond well to criticism to problems that they have. Chose to go out of the way to speak blessing into their friends' lives. They sacrificed their own free time and to spend it with men in prison who didn't have other family that wanted to visit them. And we could look at people like this, and I'm guessing each of you have people in mind that you can say, you know, that's the type of person I admire, and that's what I want you to be thinking about. And think, we'll never become that kind of person. It's too big to get to where they're at. But let's remember that it's the small changes, the small things that we can work on over a long period of time, that will actually get us there. It is not, we will not make the big jump all in one week or 1 year. But as we just daily choose to change small things in our lives, it will eventually head us in the right direction. And it's been interesting thinking of the small changes in our lives. If we think, we can think about, or I have observed how two people growing up in similar environments can end up in different places. And usually, if you really start to pick it, you know, to look into what happened, why did one person completely leave God and reject God when the other person is a committed Christian? How does that happen? And usually it's because of small decisions over time. And you keep making these small decisions, and eventually it takes the one away from God, it takes the other person toward God. So I find myself wanting to be a committed Christian that spends regular time with God, that lovingly cares for my family, is patient and kind, always has time and attention, and spends time with my wife and my little boy, and I want to learn to care for the things that they're interested. But the reality is I find it easy to sleep a little later, not have time for my personal devotions. I waste time on social media or in a book that I book or whatever that I myself am interested in, and I get so engrossed in what I'm doing that I don't even hear my wife speak. And so that we find the reality of where we want to be, or we all deal with the reality of where we want to be and where we are currently. But as I said, I do want to focus also on building the good habits and not just avoid the bad habits. Because I myself am bothered as much by what I should be doing that I'm not than the things that I do that I should not be doing, which probably sounds familiar to you. In Romans chapter 7, Paul is talking about this. And I'm going to jump in at verse 15 there. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. So I identify with how Paul says this. We do things that we don't want to do, and we find ourselves not doing the things that we want to do. But in narrowing this down, I don't know if that's quite the right way to say it, but in thinking of bad habits again, why do we call it a bad habit, or should we just call it sin? Is there a difference? Paul here is talking about the law and how the law deals with sin and things like that. And so we're specifically talking about bad habits. But how big of a difference is there between just simply a bad habit and actually just plain sin that we have to deal with? Do any of you have thoughts or input to that? Paul, did I see your hand?
I would think
not all about defending yourself. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of Paul was saying, that not having personal devotions is a bad habit, but it isn't sin. And that's kind of where I was at. I tried for a little bit to think through some of these habits and place them in a good or a bad bucket. And some of them don't really fit necessarily into one of those. But at the same time, I do have to come back to the fact that all of them, most habits will point you in one direction or another. We're not neutral, and God doesn't say, you're either in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of darkness. It is one or the other. So maybe it's terminology, and that's all we're dealing with. Daryl. Okay. You're just saying that for some people, some habits are worse for them than others.
Right.
Yeah.
We all have them. I mean, we all have our little weaknesses for them. Those particular habits get us more than others.
Okay. We have our own weaknesses. The Bible really does not talk a whole... Sorry, Arthur, you had... Thank you. That is good additions. In the back, Leroy. Okay, that's good. Good point. So some of what we're saying here is that Arthur's saying it's necessary to call it what it is. Don't try to excuse. Don't try to just call it kind of a bad habit that we need to work on, when it reality is sin. And Leroy, you're bringing out the point that when I mention things like a bad habit of sleeping late, another side of it is that it's important to get your sleep. Well, all of these things, I mostly just, I put things down so that we would have things to start discussing. And so many of all these things are going to be things you're going to have to figure out on your own. What do you need to work on and make your own lists? One thing about habits, it really does not show up in the Bible much at all. Just doing a simple search really shows Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it just, mentions the habit of some of, but it's talking about not what they were doing, it's what they weren't doing. Problem of omission. I did actually find another verse, but really the word habit does not show up a whole lot. In fact, I don't think it even shows up in the King James Version at all in the New Testament. But it does, let's see, never mind, I don't have it on there. It does show up also in 1 Timothy 5:13 when it's talking about the widows and whether or not they should be. Anyway, it's talking about the widows, and it says they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and that's in the NIV version. So I couldn't find a whole lot of places that says, hey, here it's talking about habits. Marvin, you have a comment? Thank you. I did not think of that. Marvin saying that it was Jesus' custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. But in thinking of whether or not, there are plenty of verses though in the Bible when it's talking about sin, in dealing with things that we should not be doing, which, while not all habits are sin, there are some that we can kind of excuse, some bad habits that we might have that we excuse as bad habits and not as sin. So if we're looking for proof that we should not be doing some of these things, and there are plenty of things in the Bible that say, if you have a problem, deal with it. So, you know, Matthew 18:9, if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Colossians 3:5-6. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Romans 13. Let's see, where was I planning to read? Let us walk properly in the daytime, there in verse 13. Not in orgies, how do you say that? And drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We have Galatians 5, verses 16 to 24. I'm not going to read all of it. But it does begin there. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But here are things we can work on if we are wanting to figure out what we should work on, there in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Of James 4:17, whoever knows to do the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If there are things we need to be working on in our lives and changing, and we aren't doing anything about it, that's what this verse is talking about. Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that is just a few verses that we can find, and that was just from doing some simple searches on a computer, which really helps studying. I don't think there is a question for us, should we work on things in our lives that are actual sin? I don't think any of you are sitting here saying, well, I don't know if I should actually deal with this problem or not. Most of the time, it's thinking, okay, I know it's a problem. I do kind of want to make an effort to work on it, but I do feel kind of stuck. I don't feel like I make any progress, and I still end up going through my same routines every day, and I don't get to where I want to go. I'm not changing. At least that is a struggle I have had, at least. So how are we supposed to change? How are we supposed to live differently? I see Arthur's hand. So. So So Arthur, you're saying if we realize how much this sin, these problems are damaging us, then it might provide some motivation. You're just see if I can repeat that so that for sure everybody can hear. Sometimes the things that we are wanting, the good things that we're wanting to develop in our lives, we find it hard to because of things that we enjoy doing. We want to get up earlier in the mornings for personal devotions, but we are up too late the night before, then it makes it hard to do that. Instant gratification versus long-term payoff. That is a good point, Paul. Do any of you have any specific stories of things that have you had a chance to think about, things that you've gotten to work on in your own life, and how? So, what practical things did you do? Are there any examples of that? I guess I could say the one thing I'd mentioned. I never really did get a fix for forgetting to buy the vegetables for Mom. I think I'm doing better when my wife asks me to get stuff for her, but I can't say that I conquered that bad habit. But the one thing that worked for me when I was struggling with having personal devotions in the morning is that I ended up leaving for work about 15 minutes earlier and came and parked here in the parking lot at church and sat and read there. And I would have 15 minutes or so, and then I went on to work. And that worked very well for me. It worked great those last few months before I left, and it was what I needed. It got me out of the house, got me away from my distractions, so that I could do it. David, why don't we have you get the mic if you have anything lengthy to say at least. Okay.
One thing that I realized is that we were young married and we were trying to establish schedules and things like that. And it's this thing of getting up in the morning, getting up promptly and so forth. One thing that helped me, and I'm not holding myself up as an example as having done it perfectly now, but it helped me to realize that if I take an extra half hour of sleep in the morning, if you figure that out over a year's time, it's basically wasting 4 weeks of work. It amounts to that. It counts up. And it just helped to motivate me. And so that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. I've lived in a church for 30 years where I was one of the oldest people. And there's two areas where I've talked to them about the payoff of discipline. And one is my time with God. I've told them that now I've been doing this for 40 years. And when I look at a scripture, most any scripture, it kind of opens up. And I see all kinds of things that maybe someone else might not see. That's not because I'm that smart. It's because I've been doing this for 40 years. The other thing that I talk about with my brothers and sisters that are a lot younger than I is struggles with lustful thoughts. I tell them I've been trying really hard to be very careful about what I think, and I think that I'm almost 60 and it's paying off. And I like to tell them those stories because I think young people need to know that disciplined thinking and discipline in that area pays off, and I feel more free than I think a lot of people do.
Thank you. Leroy has a comment in the back. If you could pass the mic to him.
Yeah, I certainly echo the discipline thing. I have a tendency to be sarcastic and say snarky stuff. And if it's clever, then that's its own reward, and it helps to understand that that we establish emotional environments around us and that it influence other people. And I found that focusing on things to be grateful for changes not just my own head and my own view of others, but it also changes the entire room. And so knowing that, it, to me, it's kind of like becoming an adult finally and not depending on someone else to, you know, create an environment, but to do the creating myself. So that helps me then cultivate, and cultivating becomes a habit. And to, I guess you're the judge of whether I'm successful at that or not, but that's at least, you know, one perspective that I have from my own experience. Mm-hmm. I think is really important in making habits is lists. I write lists, and I think I try to do the most important thing first every day on my list.
Thank you. We have Sam up here. Ushers, can you bring a mic?
I don't know if this is going to be very lengthy, but I have struggled concentrating on the words when I'm singing. And I'm working on it, but I haven't accomplished all of it.
Harry.
There's a story that involves something much less important than daily devotions, but I learned something from Kevin Miller in Linden, Kansas, the gazebo builder. Because of our business relationship, I'd talk on the phone with him and Harry, how are you? And I'd say, fine. And then calling to talk about the scheduling. He said, I'm fine too, thanks for asking. And this happened like 3 times in 2 weeks or something like that. And I got to thinking about it. Well, yeah, it's a small thing, but I have made a habit, anytime I hear, how are you, to ask the person on the other end, fine, and you? And the responses vary, but, and yeah, I know it's that fine, and it's all cliche, but it's a human interaction, and it's a touch. The other thing I like about that story is that there was somebody who was willing to be in my face. And just say, in essence, without using those words, Harry, you've got a problem here. There's something you're overlooking, and you ought to give some attention to it. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. Thank you for those of you that have shared. The one thing that I have, that I struggle with in thinking about this is how do we find the balance, though, between, especially when it's a sin issue, the fact that the Holy Spirit has to work in our lives and has to change us. We can't produce this change on our own. And yet we do have to choose. We have to make right choices at the same time. And I think there is a tension there, and I don't have answers on how that is supposed to look and work. But while I have the verse up that says, you therefore must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, and I think God does want us to work toward perfection. He also realizes that we are not there, and we will never. I was going to say we will never be there, but I'm not sure if that's sound theology or not. A few minutes that we have left. Mom. We'll let her speak before my next few thoughts.
I just remembered a story from a friend of mine who struggled with eating too much, and she had gained a good bit of weight. And she got up one evening and she said, I need to confess this as sin because I'm not being victorious without making a public confession. And as I recall, it really did make a difference for her.
Thank you. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. The one thing I was going to say is that the one thing I do think is important when we're thinking of change is actually to get into reading the Bible. and meditating on it. And I would suggest that do more than the 5 minutes a day. Look at, say, hey, bite off a reading the Bible through in 6 months, or, you know, if you're ambitious, 4 months, or at the very least a year. And by spending a sheer amount of time in it, I think it does have a purifying effect, and it will change us, and we will get to have the power to choose to do the right things. And along with that, then you also find verses as you're reading that will speak directly about the specific thing that you're needing to change. Let's just jump on to... So if we're wanting to learn to be thankful, we can find verses that talk about thankfulness. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Or if we're wanting to not waste time, Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days. If we struggle with being lazy, all kinds of verses in Proverbs. You know, the way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. So that's the one thing that I do think is important. Remembering that the Holy Spirit is there to help us, and we need that help in order to produce change. But I do want to talk a little bit about practical ways that we can actually do that will help us remember to live differently. And I got a lot of this from a man named James Clear. He has a website, jamesclear.com, and he writes a lot about habit change and behavior transformation and things like that. The thing is, he writes it completely from a secular scientific standpoint. So while it is interesting, and he has studied a lot how the human mind thinks and operates, it was interesting reading through it and as a Christian, or looking at it from my perspective as a Christian, and trying to figure out how does this balance and work. But he suggests use the three R's. You have a reminder, which is a trigger that initiates the behavior, the new behavior that you're wanting to implement. A routine, the behavior itself, or what you do, the action you take. And then he says you need to reward yourself. One example he has is he was wanting to learn how to develop the habit of flossing daily and wasn't getting it done. So he ended up deciding when he brushes his teeth, that's the obvious time to floss. But even with the floss container in the cabinet, he just wasn't getting it done. So he bought a bunch of pre-made or pre-cut floss pieces and put in the dish right beside his toothpaste. So his reminder is pick up the toothpaste to brush the teeth, and then there's the bowl right there. So he has his routine then. He can remember to floss. And that was what worked for him. It was and I'm not sure what he did to reward himself. Said good boy or something, I don't know. But that's kind of the idea. There's just a bit of a graph he has on how that works. The idea is when you reward yourself, you then want to do the same behavior the next time that the reminder triggers that action. So, current habit as a reminder for your new habit. The things you do every day or things that happen to you. Things you do every day, for instance, the brushing the teeth one is a trigger. And maybe we should just think of, can someone suggest a habit that needs to change? And maybe we can come up with suggestions for actually how to do that. Nobody's brave. Let me go look at the list of habits. Leroy.
Trying to multitask.
Okay, so what helps you remember? At what point in the process of trying to multitask can you stop, and how do you switch? Which tasks do you end up focusing on? Do you have?
It's usually in a conversation and not being heard.
Okay.
I don't want to be thought of.
Okay. I'm going to pick something easier to use as an example. I'm going to use an example. I want to learn to pray regularly for missionaries, and so the one thing would be you know, things that I do every day, I put on my shoes every day, I could use that time, or things that happen to you, that could include things like stopping at a red light. So if I use that, the stopping at a red light as a trigger, when I stop, that is my cue to remember to pray. And another thing that that he suggests a lot is not break off too big of a chunk. Don't have this huge lofty goal. So I would suggest if you're choosing to have a goal, to pray for someone, this week for Wednesday evening was, you know, the missionary of the week was Jan and Isley. So for the next week, you have that one person in mind. You can always remember it. You can go to it and you can pray for that person. And that's this part. Make the habit easy to start. If you make it too big, too lofty, then you will not get it done. If you say you're, and that's the thing I mentioned, you know, maybe a good goal is to read through the Bible in 6 months, but if you are not going to get around to getting it done because it's such a big chunk, then say, it's, you know, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, I'm going to make sure I do 5 minutes every single day. Reward yourself. I did not think a whole lot about this one. I'm not sure how that fits into that, so take that with a grain of salt as a secular writer. I guess the one reward is that we know we are drawing closer to God if we do things that he calls us to. I am out of time, and I believe I will stop. Thank you for your participation and attention. Let's stand and close with prayer.